This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Joyce Carol Oates is one of the most prolific and eclectic authors in the U.S. book world. She's published more than 100 books, including novels, short story collections, poetry, plays, essays, and children's literature.
Oates earned her master's degree from UW-Madison in 1961, and since then, she's had a long list of career milestones and honors, including the National Book Award and the National Humanities Medal, and she has been nominated several times for the Pulitzer Prize.
Her latest novel, Butcher, is a literary horror inspired by real-life medical experiments performed on women in the 19th century with a main character based on three historical doctors. I talked to Joyce Carol Oates last week about her new book and how her time in Wisconsin influenced her life and career. Joyce, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Your new novel, Butcher, is about a 19th century doctor who performs really horrific experimental procedures on women at an asylum where he's the medical director eventually. Can you talk about why you tackled this subject matter in your newest novel and why now?
I have really long been interested in scientific misconduct and in the history of medicine, history of science. My late husband, Charlie Gross, was a neuroscientist with an interest also in a history of medicine. And the history of medical science is very fascinating. It throws a good deal of light on how people view one another today, especially in a patriarchal culture, how physicians and surgeons viewed women, and how mental illness in women was treated often with hysterectomies and other surgeries that related to a person being a woman.
Your main character, Silas Weir, is based on some real doctors from the 1800s, including one with a very similar name. Can you talk about the research and the sorts of things you found, again, horrific things you found about some of these treatments and experiments?
Oh, yes. Well, it's quite fascinating. I think everyone really has an interest in the history of a developing field like medicine. Of course, the early surgeries were experimental. You can imagine during the Civil War when legs were being amputated and many things were being done that had actually never been done before. So, too, in my novel, in the 1830s, the doctors and research scientists were experimenting in many ways that seemed brutal and insane to us today, but at the time they were sort of blundering. Now, Dr. Weir, Silas Weir, my character, is a composite figure. There are really three doctors who are also sort of research scientists who go into the composite figure. And one of them is Dr. Weir Mitchell. He was very prominent, extremely famous in the 19th century for his theories about how women should be treated. And then J. Marion Sims is still known as the father of modern gynecology. And, of course, he's notorious for having operated especially on black enslaved women in great numbers and always without any anesthesia. But the one who interests me the most, because I live in Princeton, not far away from Trenton, is Dr. Henry Cotton. He was the director of the New Jersey State Lunatic Asylum in Trenton, and that isn't very far away from where I'm actually sitting. Mm. So by looking into the lives of these three men, I created a composite figure who seems to me very realistic. He behaves and thinks in ways that are very plausible. It was also very common that men like him considered themselves Christians, and they considered what they were doing in some way related to God's will be done.
You mentioned a patriarchal society, and it really shines through in the book, this research being done and these experimental surgeries being done by men very condescending toward women, contemptuous of women, especially of lower social class, no interest in the consent of the people they're operating on. And what really strikes me, Joyce, is this is the foundation of modern gynecology. This is the foundation of the medical treatment of women. Do you feel like maybe not as bad as it was then, but that some of these attitudes lingered on long after?
Well, that's very true. As far back as Aristotle, was considered that women were second-class citizens, that they were really a little bit subhuman compared to men, and that if a woman was upset about something, it could be like her role in life. She might not want to get married or have children. It was considered hysteria. Men could not be hysterical because hysteria derived from the uterus. The female reproductive organs were often removed.
We're talking to Joyce Carol Oates about her new novel. It's called Butcher, and about her time as a student at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. Joyce, I want to turn to your time in Madison. I would love to say it was a wonderful experience and reminisce about those times, but you wrote in your memoir, in the academic department you're in the English department, this was in some ways a lost time for you. Can you talk about your experience at UW?
Well, I think I may overstate it. I came from Syracuse University, where the professors were extremely, I guess they're just younger, and they were more focused on new literature and American literature. When I came to Wisconsin, most of the faculty was older. They were from Harvard, and they were teaching in a way that is now not fashionable. They just lectured. Sometimes they just lectured from notes, and there wasn't much close reading of texts, which we did at Syracuse. Today, it's very rare in an English class that a professor just lectures. In my classes, we're all reading the literature and, you know, discussing and talking about it much more lively. So when I went to Wisconsin, I was sort of thrown back into an older mode of pedagogy. I remember one professor just sat and read from his own book. He had written a book on the American Puritans, and he just sat and read from his own book. You know, and we were taking notes, but the whole thing was very stultifying. It was very dull. I did have one wonderful professor, Helen White. She taught the English ballad. She taught medieval literature. And I think she was able to make it come more alive. I have very good memories of Helen White.
There's a library not far from where I'm sitting named after her now. Joyce, as a young woman, these were, apart from Helen White, I gather mostly older men. And you talked, I think, in your memoir about, you know, getting married and them saying, well, a married woman academic. Was this just old-fashioned sexism part of what you encountered, part of that negative experience?
Well, I think it was, absolutely. Yes. If I had it to do all over again, I probably would be able to navigate it a little better. I may have been just kind of naive. I mean, I had come from Syracuse, where I was valedictorian, very respectful of me, and I think of other women students as well. But then when I came to Wisconsin, as I said, it was really more of an older patriarchy, and I probably just didn't know how to deal with that. It was just sort of not the right place for me. In a way, I can't believe, to quote Bob Dylan, sure is glad to get out of there alive.
Now, this is a weird sequence, Joyce. I read this passage from your memoir right before I read The Butcher. And you have a scene in your memoir where you're being effectively judged, right, by the committee that says, do you get to go on and do your dissertation or not? They end up saying no. And I don't know, this idea of a condescending group of older men set in their ways, deciding a woman's future, and then reading The Butcher, my brain is connecting dots there. Should it be?
Well, that is very interesting. I remember that so well, but it was in a way a blessing. I didn't have any intention of going on for a PhD. Now, if they had said to me, oh, Joyce, you are just what we want. You're going to be like Helen White. You have to get a PhD, and we'll give you a fellowship. that would have maybe ruined my life because I would have toiled away in the library doing this historical research and talking about sources. And my life would have been really sabotaged. So as it turned out, there's a medieval concept of the fortunate fall, the wheel of fortune. But the fortunate fall is supposedly Adam and Eve. It was the fall of man. But then that brought Jesus into the world. So the Christian idea is that there was a fortunate fall. And in our lives, too. I mean, more than once in my life, there has been a fortunate failure at just the right time. So it cut off a road I might have been following that would not have been good.
Do you have other fond memories, Joyce, of your couple years in Wisconsin?
Oh, yes, I have many, many fond memories. I liked Wisconsin very much. I was very happy in Madison. I love the city, just the right size. I love the lake, the student union, that wonderful student union. My husband, Ray Smith, and I spent so many wonderful times there. We walked all around. We walked out through the agricultural college. We rented an apartment way out University Avenue, I think, or State Street. I can't remember the name, but it was way out. So we walked about a mile to class. I shouldn't just focus on the very end of my my experience there, because the oral exam at the very end of the spring term was really a very small part of my life. I can remember very, very well walking around Madison, the university, that high hill, the long hill. I was really overall extremely happy there.
I know you get asked this a lot about your prolific nature as an author. You've written lots and lots of books. But interestingly, you know, I think some authors crank books out because they have a formula. It's always the same book with some variations. That is very much not what you're doing. Can you talk about not just the quantity of books you put out, but the range of subject matter and even styles and genres you've tackled?
Well, thank you for that question, because as a writer, I really feel I like to experiment. So writing about the butcher, the doctor, I could have written it in the third person, where we see him do this and we see him do that. I wanted to write about him from the point of view of the first person. Basically, he is telling his own story, and he incriminates himself all the time. He's so vain and blind, and he's comical.
Now, Joyce, I wanted to ask you, this is, again, your latest novel. You've written many. You are, I hope you don't mind me saying, well into your 80s. I hope to be in my 80s someday, and I hope to still have some kind of creative spark. Do you have advice, or what has kept you motivated to keep on creating?
Well, it's really just the opposite. I don't have enough time to do all the things that I want to do. I have many, many outlines for a couple of novels and stories, all sorts of notes. I have too many ideas, really.
And before we let you go, Joyce, I know you have a number of projects maybe in mind. Is there one that's at the front of the pack that might emerge as your next novel?
Well, my next novel is an experiment as a whodunit. I've never written in that genre where it's a mystery. There's a body, in this case a dismembered body, of a person. We learn about who he is, and we learn about the community. The man's name is Mr. Fox. He's a very popular middle school teacher, and first he goes missing, then his body is found, and then we sort of move through an investigation with a real detective, a real police investigation. So I had a lot of fun writing a police procedural. I love to read police procedurals, but I never written one before.
I would read a Joyce Carol Oates police procedural.
Thank you. Well, it's all very realistic. This is not, I mean, Butcher goes into the surreal a little bit. Fox is all realistic. It's set in a realistic place. And the police investigation is very realistic. And there is a revelation at the end. You do find out who the murderer is. It's not an elliptical literary postmodernist novel that has no resolution. It's a genre novel with an actual ending. So I wanted to write about that in a literary way and sort of use, unusual sentences and vocabulary. But I wanted to have that genre structure.
Joyce, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Very nice to talk to you.
That was Joyce Carol Oates, author of more than 100 books, the recipient of honors including the National Book Award and the National Humanities Medal. She got her master's from UW-Madison. She joined us to talk about her most recent novel, Butcher, her upcoming police procedural, and her time in Wisconsin.